from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Here we go. It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, it's time now for the NFL news of the day as we start to inch towards training camp. Here's Wolchuk.
Well, Brian just told us about the two new Cowboys additions, cornerback Gary and Conley, who's going to be joining the team. And, you know, we'll be excited to go check them out in Oxnard. Cowboys have had success, you know, taking some of these former first-round picks that haven't ended up making it, and maybe they end up being effective for the Cowboys. Now, I saw this from Eagles camp. Apparently, Kellen Moore going to be using a little bit more motion this year. That's what the Rumorooskies are saying. I don't know if we're buying into this because we've heard this before, but the receivers there, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, they're liking what they're seeing so far in this new Kellen Moore offense, and motion has been the key word this offseason for the Eagles.
That will just make me beyond nauseous if Kellen Moore starts dialing up league, trending motion that gives them an edge. I think it's not going to be too hard for them to get people excited over there because they were amongst the worst at it last year, weren't they?
They were so bad. They were 26.4% dead last when it came to using motion in the NFL. The only NFL team that was under 30% of motion used were the Philadelphia Eagles.
So you have a guy in Sirianni who's an offensive guy who's not really used to using it. Kellen Moore coming in as an offensive guy who's not really used to using it, but they're going to find a way to make it work.
I'll see it when I believe it. No, this ain't happening. You know, and they could talk about this and all that too. You know, your players got to be able to pick up on motion. There might be a reason why they're not moving their guys around. Because all of a sudden, hey, our guys aren't picking it up.
That was the case with the Cowboys. As when they did do motion, they were slightly less efficient.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the guys picking it up or, you know, the coaches not coaching it well enough. But if as a GM I saw those numbers, I'd be looking for answers because it's clear the edge that it can get you if you can execute it.
Well, if you're a team that's really interested in playing with motion, why would you hire Kellen Moore?
Right.
Right.
See, that to me right there, this is Nick Sirianni about to get fired.
I agree. And with a running quarterback and Jalen Hurts, it's not something Kellen Moore's ever had.
This is DeMarco Murray going into Chip Kelly offense, and let's hand the ball to him going sideways and see how that works.
Now, Kellen Moore did use this more last year with the Chargers. He only used it 44.6% of the time in his tenure with the Cowboys. Last year with the Chargers, they ran motion 59% of the time, which was sixth in the NFL, but certainly that was not an offense that we would look back and be like, okay, that was elite. I mean, he lost his job there. If he was so good, they would have said, okay, we'll keep you, Kellen Moore. We've seen that happen before with other offensive
coaches. They had a lot of injuries, but if you're going to move guys around, you have to be smart enough to move around, you know? And there's some thoughts about that, you know, with the Eagles situation and stuff, some of these guys don't want to move.
Yeah.
They like to play in stationary spots and run their routes and go from there. So to me, yeah, this is, I'll believe it when I see it.
I agree.
And I think that to me, this is going to be one of those hires. This whole division, this NFC East, could be everybody but the Commanders' new head coach this time next year.
But I think the narrative, wouldn't it be that Moore goes to work with the Chargers where Staley is, who worked with McVay, and he's like, dude, I've been watching your Cowboy stuff. I think you're talented, yeah, but this is way too stagnant. And that could be a turning point in Kellen Moore's career, a turning point that we need to see inside the Cowboys organization in one way or another. And they'll probably get there right around the time it's an old trend and defenses have totally figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is one of those things where we'll wait and see how this Eagles offense looks. But with Kellen Moore at the helm, I'm a little bit more pessimistic that we'll get.
Well, don't forget they got Saquon Barkley.
So I do.
You can take that pessimism and flush it right down the toilet.
Barkley's the man. They're very excited to have him. How about Ladd McConkey, Georgia, ends up sliding to the second round for the Chargers, and he has been impressing. Apparently, he's going to be wide receiver one there for Justin Herbert. So, you fantasy footballers out there, I got two nuggets for you. Apparently, Mike McDaniel is loving Achane, and he's going to find more ways to use him in the offense. Now, the thing will be just stay healthy for him at running back. He has just not been able to stay healthy when he's on the field. The dude's been a monster, but you might see more use of him in Miami, but also Ladd McConkey could end up being wide receiver one, which is not a surprise if you watched his tape coming out of Georgia. That dude runs routes very, very well, can catch the ball, can win underneath, deep, intermediate. He's a fantastic player, but he set a rookie record for the most guaranteed money by a non-first-round pick in NFL history. Sam Laporta, last year, who was taking the same slot as him, 34th overall, originally had the record. Now, Ladd McConkey takes over there. So kudos to him, and I'm excited to watch him play with Justin Herbert. I think that could be a very, very good pairing.
One of the best receivers, him and Ricky Pearsall out of Florida, were two of the best when it came to running routes underneath and just catching the ball and getting north
the yak,
hurry.
No doubt. Yeah. Absolutely. And a kick return guy as well, so he can be a factor.
And Pearsall went to the Niners.
He did.
Yes.
Which is why, hey, who knows? Maybe Brandon Ayuk ends up getting traded. We'll see. They feel like they've got a guy that could come in there and take over. Now, Austin Eckler, he left the Chargers. He's now with the Commandos inside of the division. He was on Up and Adams, Kay Adams show, talking about, all right, why did you leave L.A.?
What'd you say?
The Eckler, we got the...
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
Sorry, buddy.
No, it's all right.
What was the conversation with Jim and company? How could you possibly be a misalignment when you can do everything?
Well, I think you can kind of see kind of how they've been building the team so far this offseason. You know, went out and drafted, you know, a tackle first round, brought in some bigger backs over from Baltimore. And so it's like, hey, they want a guy they can hand the ball off to 300 times a year. And look, I haven't had that capacity to do that. Like, that's not my game. That's not how Austin Eckler is going to be the best on the field. So there was the misalignment there, which no harm, no foul. I'll go find somewhere else where I can, you know, add value, where Austin can be the best version of myself out there.
Third person guy. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's got a ton of self-awareness there, knowing what he's capable of. But then he goes into the third person so that he keeps his confidence
Austin
high at the
same
time.
Austin can be the best version of himself there.
They haven't seen Austin play yet. I'll tell you what, if I'm a pro department, being the Dallas Cowboys, keeping an eye on the Commanders and their running back room.
Yeah.
That's a team. When you talk about Austin Eckler, Brian Robinson, Chris Rodriguez out of Kentucky, he was a sixth-round pick. I mean, you keep an eye on them. They've got a couple of guys. They got maybe one guy that they might move out of that crew.
Okay.
I'll take Brian Robinson all day, by the way.
Yeah, Brian Robinson, good player out of Alabama, no question. Now, it is interesting. He notes there they brought in some bigger backs, and they do. They want to get physical. You know, that's what Harbaugh wants to do. But who'd they draft? They drafted Blake Corum out of Michigan. How tall do you think Austin Eckler is?
Same size as Blake Corum.
He's 5'8", right?
5'10".
Oh, geez.
Corum is 5'8".
Yeah, they're close.
So
same type of player.
Well, I mean, I guess Corum has been able to carry the football more consistently, at least in college.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
There's a lot of tread on those tires.
Yeah. Is a lot. When you say tread, is that, that's a lot of tread means good.
That's good.
Right.
There's a lot of wear and tear on those tires.
Yeah, there's a lot of wear and tear on that tire.
Yeah, good call. Good call.
Yeah.
You want the tread.
Yeah.
Corum doesn't have the tread.
I don't think so. I mean, he could prove me way wrong, but
he might,
but that's what Harbaugh did. Harbaugh just ran him into the damn ground.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he really did, and now he's going to take him. What's he going to do? Oh, hey, I know a guy I can hand the ball to and run him into the damn ground. You know, so, hey, Corum's a good player.
He's just not in LA.
His thing is he's not as explosive as some of these backs.
But in college, you had a guy that was actually smaller than Austin Ekeler that he was successful with. And I guess Austin Ekeler saying, like, hey, he didn't want to keep the small back. But we'll see what happens with the Chargers in their offense. Blake Corum on the other team there in LA. But interesting, you know, the thoughts there, why it didn't work out with the Chargers. And we'll see how he ends up working out with the Commanders inside of the division there. Now, the Ravens, did you see their new helmet today?
The purple. Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
So we've got a new purple alternate helmet that is going to debut in 2024. Carter's got this up, Purple Rising. It does actually look pretty badass. I think the colors that the Ravens are rocking with the purple and the black, it might be some of the cleanest in the NFL.
What color is the face mask?
Gold.
It's like East Carolina.
It does look like East Carolina. It absolutely does.
Mighty Pirates there.
So I don't know which game they are going to officially wear this in.
Cowboys.
I'd say all of them.
Oh, maybe.
No, I just thought
it's probably going to be a home game, I would think. They're coming to AT&T Stadium. I'd guess they'd wear this for a home game.
It's like a color rush situation because they're going to be wearing it with their all purple unis.
Maybe a prime. Yeah, and the uniforms look clean. I mean, they've got Derrick Henry, Mark Andrews modeling some of these, but this fall, Purple Will Rise, introducing our new alternate helmet. But I like this. I mean, the NFL has a new rule out with the helmet. Every team is able to kind of put out a new alternate helmet.
Nobody's suing us anymore for concussions. We can throw in some new helmets now.
Well, now we got the Guardian caps.
Yeah, that's going to go over the helmet.
Oh, so that, like,
maybe this helmet's not even able to be seen because everybody's wearing the Guardian caps.
The Guardian cap going over the new helmet. This is a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't want concussions, wear the Guardian cap.
We're hiding the new purple alternate because we've got
this
the Guardian
needs
cap
to be
coming.
Their new standard helmet. This is too good.
It is
to
good.
Be denied.
It's a good
one. What do you have against Edgar Allan Poe?
Nothing.
This is no still showing art. Edgar some love.
Ah, the Raven.
Nevermore.
This thing's just awesome.
It is good. I mean, I was pretty blown away. I think
are we really wearing the Guardian caps?
We'll see what happens.
I'm going to ask every single player at training camp, what's the Guardian cap situation? At what point in your brain health would you elect to choose the most unaesthetically pleasing thing in the history of sports?
I'd say three concussions.
Three
concussions.
But there's
in what period?
Like once you get your third all-time concussion?
Yeah. They've got to figure out how to make the Guardian cap blend in better with the helmet. It can't just be this weird look.
Third concussion, I'm like on Fox's number five team for
That's
game
week
of the
five?
Week. No, game of the week. Me and Tim Ryan are doing the game.
Just slobbering.
Third concussion, you're really staying in there and like keep playing?
I mean, these guys do.
There's some guys that are getting like three concussions a year.
I think I've had a lot of concussions, and I'm glad. It's the way I affect right now.
Wally Pipped out there. All of a sudden, you got a concussion. I can't play. My backup comes in there. He takes the job.
That's what I'm saying. Three concussion. I'm like doing, Brian brought his game, the bad game of the week. You know, I'll be that guy doing the announcing. Yeah.
Okay, so yesterday I told you about the Hard Knocks. It's going to be covering the AFC North. Well, speaking of the Ravens, John Harbaugh was on Adam Jones' podcast, and he was discussing...
They're just calling it the Adam Jones podcast? It's not a Pac-Man?
No, it's just Adam Jones.
Okay.
Because he tried to get rid of the Pac-Man. He just wants to go by Adam Jones.
Okay.
So Adam Jones' podcast, he's talking with the fellas, and Harbaugh, not a big Hard Knocks guy. In fact, he's never even watched the show. What do you think about the show, Coach?
You know what's crazy is I never watched that show. I've never watched it. I mean, I'm not saying I'll see a clip or two here. Someone said, did you see Hard Knocks last night? And they'll show me a clip. I'm just like... You know, I just think it's just not real. I mean, people think it's real, but it's not real. You know, it's everything's put on. I mean, anybody, you got to put a microphone and a camera in your face. People aren't the same.
There you go.
If I don't mind, if they want to bring Hard Knocks in here, it wouldn't bother me one bit just because I know that I would tell, I'll tell our guys is, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to just be us. We're going to say what we say. We're going to do what we do. We're going to handle it the way we handle it because we got nothing to be ashamed of. Oh. And we're not trying to put on a show or an act for anybody. And we do have final, we better have final editing power on the whole thing. I think they do. But really, I mean, our guys handle themselves in a professional way. I wouldn't mind the world seeing that at some point. But I also do think it's a distraction because you got a camera in your face. You know, the office, right? It wasn't real. They really weren't in the office. That was put on and made up. So there's always going to be some acting that's going to go on in that type of scenario. And, you know, I just want our guys to get the most out of the day and become the best team they can be. That's got to be a little drained, don't you think, Adam?
Oh, big time. Yeah. Big time.
Man, so did he think The Office was, like, partially reality TV?
Are you telling me it wasn't?
That's the most interesting thing I heard.
It's just like you find out the office isn't real.
Come on.
You're so disappointed.
Next thing you're going to tell me Santa Claus wasn't real, guys.
Well, it's a no-brainer.
Keep your damn opinions to yourself, all right?
If you're the NFL, you're like, okay, then we're going to get the first ever real edition of Hard Knocks, and it'll feature the Ravens of Baltimore.
We're just going to be ourselves, and we're not going to change anything.
It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. I mean, it's seriously. There's everybody turns into an actor in that whole thing,
man.
So it's a bunch of acting going on. Nothing real about that at all.
I do believe that people are going to change when you get the camera.
I believe the Cowboys didn't have their scouts at camp 1 year, and I know the Cowboys like to get their scouts out on the road early. You know, they're better off, better suited, like watching college players than they are watching their own. But I think there was a time where Dallas, and I'm probably going to get a text for saying this. But I believe the Cowboys said, let's keep the scouts at home so we don't have to have meetings for Hard Knocks.
Well, yeah. And those scouts, they want to be honest. If we can't be highly critical of the people on this team, then we're not really doing our jobs right. Yeah, we're just wasting time here.
Wasting a big time.
Yeah. Nothing was better than that Browns meeting on Hard Knocks when they were on it. I guess.
But Bob Wiley's stomach that one time.
Yeah. That was good. Apparently, Deshaun Watson, their new GM, came out and said that he's ahead of schedule in his rehab from his November season-ending shoulder surgery. I don't know how Deshaun Watson's going to play this year. That is not
poorly in week one.
Not been a good signing for the Cleveland Browns. And then finally, as we wrap up NFL news of the day, Sunday Ticket. Man, we've got this lawsuit going on, and both Roger Goodell and Jerry Jones had to testify yesterday. So Roger Goodell said that he considers the Sunday Ticket a premium product, and he cited examples of his standards for NFL telecasts. In the process, he kind of threw his own product, the NFL Network, under the bus. He said NFL Network aired Thursday night games from 06 to 13. The package was then shared by CBS and NBC for three seasons before Fox took over Thursday Night Football. So I had my own opinion that our production was below standards that the networks, Fox and CBS, had already set. So we hadn't met the standard with NFL Network. Now they've got this 11-year, $1 billion deal with Amazon Prime. I don't know if he feels like the standard's been set there. But then Jerry Jones said, hey, I know if we were to sell individual team deals here, I could make more money than the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. I am convinced I would make a lot more money than the Bengals. I'm completely against each team doing TV deals. It is flawed. And he's probably right. I think there would be much more of an appetite for people to want to purchase the Cowboys than necessarily the Bengals, which is weird that he necessarily wouldn't be open to that because he could make more money doing so.
You know, it's funny, though, with Goodell saying that, though, ownership probably like, Raj, what are you doing? They're trying to sell the NFL Network.
Yeah.
They're trying to get somebody to buy that thing. So like Raj is like, oh, we were substandard, you know, and that, this, that, and the other. Man, that's kind of, you know, are people, are they getting rid of it because it's substandard?
What's, he's got to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's that's.
But you're right.
He's the walking embodiment of honesty.
Honesty. Yeah. Roger Goodell.
Great stuff, gentlemen. Wolchuk's NFL News Today every afternoon, 3 o'clock. It's time now for NBA Power Rankings for next season. Where do the Mavs belong? How do they make it to the top? Rangers player show's coming up at 3:40. David Robertson's going to join us here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress.
Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quarterback pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a great day. NBA next season power rankings. Where do the Mavs come in? And what are their top questions going into the offseason as well? We'll discuss both those things. Segments brought to you by Window Nation. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Yes, Mavs power rankings just lost in the finals. Should they be higher than the Nuggets is the question. ESPN has put this together with their panel of experts. Boston number one. I don't think anybody is going to pick a fight with you over that at all. I think Sam Hauser with a team option is like the biggest contract thing they have. There's a massive piper to be paid for them next summer. I don't think they're going to be able to keep it together beyond that, but at least for one more year, Boston's scary. Then they have Denver coming in at number two, the Mavericks number three, pointing to Derek Jones Jr. And I think that's a massive signing right there. You bring Jones Jr. back, I'm comfortable with you being the second best team in the West behind Denver. We'll see if it comes to it, who wins that playoff series. But I think if you do lose Derek Jones Jr., the Pandora's box reopens and you're somewhere between third and fourth best in play-in. I think he is that important. What do you guys say?
Derek Jones Jr. being that important?
Yeah,
I totally get what you're saying, because the backbone of this team was the defense once the trade deadline went through, and now they had enough pieces to play defense the way Jason Kidd wanted to go ahead and do that. So I'm with you. He, as a point of attack defender, is hugely important. But can you replace that? Can you replace that at some level with somebody who's got a little bit more of a repertoire offensively? I think that would be in a perfect world. So I do think he's a huge aspect of this offseason. He's really the only big question of a guy like, are you going to lose him? How can you go about keeping him? And how much do they just decide, you know what, in the interim, this is going to hurt really bad defensively. But if we want to be a championship team, we are going to have guys that have a little bit more than just sort of a one-trick pony skill set.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, it opens up your upside. If you're like, let's take this plunge, let's take this leap of faith, we can find a better option than Derek Jones Jr. And maybe that works out. You know, you have the second rounder, you have Josh Green, you have Jaden Hardy to trade, you have Tim Hardaway Jr.'s salary or Kleba, depending on what somebody else wants. I'd be really interested to know what I could get for that. I would like to know the answer to that before I let Derek Jones Jr. go.
For sure, for sure.
I wonder what they feel, and they know more than we do, but they drafted Omax Prosper to be a guy with that similar skill set to what Derek Jones Jr. provides for you. Now, offensively, his game not quite as developed either. So I think that's something where if they were to lose Derek Jones Jr. internally, maybe they're feeling like Omax is a good option to step up and be a guy that can fill those minutes. But yeah, I mean, it is kind of nice that we're going into an offseason. He's the only guy that we're like super worried about. Are they able to retain? I am okay with them still being behind Denver. I would have been fascinated with how that series would have looked if the two of them had have gotten to play, and we didn't get to see that. So just the fact that Denver's got that championship resume, Mavs are still looking to try and get that. I'm okay with them still being just behind the Nuggets for right now.
I'd love how we'd match up against the Nuggets, though. I'm not scared of anything on their perimeter and multiple big guys throw at Jokic. Yeah. I think Minnesota showed that can be very valuable.
Absolutely.
I think a team that got experience in this playoffs and they're really young is that Oklahoma City bunch.
They have them fifth.
Yeah,
Minnesota fourth, OKC five.
Man, I don't know. I think I think that they might be sleeping on that bunch a little bit. By the way that they exited, you know, in the playoffs and stuff, they were the number one seed, you know, but they were super, super young. But you look at all their core players. It's either rookies or second-year players. You know, their best player is a fifth-year player.
They have $33 million in cap space.
And
they're
a lot
expected
of draft
to make
picks.
A run at the free agent center, Isaiah Hartenstein from the Knicks.
Be a great fit for them. And Sam Presti is probably the best front office executive that we really just don't give enough credit to. I mean, what he's been able to do, he built the original Thunder team with those three MVPs on it that went to the finals and then totally rebuilt it to now where they were just the one seed in the West. Mavs knock them out. But absolutely, I think they're the third biggest contender right now behind Denver and Dallas.
I want to look at number seven, Milwaukee, as well, and I think there's a Mavs tie-in here because they bring in Lillard, who I think you could say is a decent comp, a very different games in how they attack, but to Kyrie Irving. And what do they give up? Brogdon and Drew Holiday. And I'm sure Giannis was hurt. We didn't get to see them, but they were never right. You know, they bring in Lillard, smaller offensive guard. They get rid of absolute dog two guard in Brogdon, perfect guy to bring off the bench, gives you some offensive game, great defender. And Drew Holiday, maybe the best defending guard in the league from what I saw over the last couple of weeks.
For sure.
And they made them worse, didn't it?
That's it. That's an
from
old,
Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Way worse.
Yeah, that's a, but that's an old team, too.
Go sure. Through, go a lot through. Going on there.
Yeah, I mean, like Brooke Lopez, 15 years. Yeah. Giannis is at 10, Lillard at 11, Middleton is 11, Crowder's 11, you know, Pat Beverly 11. I mean, they've got a lot of just veteran dudes that you know. To me, I see that arrow going down. I know we all talked about Giannis and that, and he was banged up, but. To me, yeah. They just got two.
I think they're heading in the wrong direction as well. But I think moving away from defenders with versatile skill sets for a scoring smaller guard takes you farther away from a championship. And that's all you know how I feel about Lillard.
Yeah, no, it is not a we're going to punt on our defensive player to bring in an offensive player. It's trying to can we get a guy who's a little bit more two-way and a little bit more trustworthy with the ball in his hands or a little bit more of a consistent three-point threat, something like that. But the defense that Derrick Jones Jr. brings to the table cannot be overstated and would be missed hugely if they decide, or he decides maybe, that he can get so much more money elsewhere that they might not even have a chance at this. I was reading how they have a couple of ways if you can move on from a Maxi Kleba or something like that and you can open up a little bit more money to give Derrick Jones Jr., but it's not too much more. So they might not even really have much of a decision to make here if he's going to make the decision. But his defense will be missed in a huge way, and they will be doing everything they can by the trade deadline to get that back and hopefully a little bit of offense.
Yeah, they are going to have to get very creative and find willing partners to dump salary, basically give players to teams. Maybe even, you know, throwing in a future second-round pick or something in order to entice them to do that, which might be attractive if you're purely a rebuilding team. Maybe you want a veteran like Tim Hardaway Jr. on your team. But the big thing here is Derrick Jones Jr. is going to have to want to be on the Mavs so bad that maybe he ends up taking less, significantly less, for at least 1 year. And coming off the stretch that I did, knowing how my career has looked up until this point, I think that'd be too risky, you know, especially how things cooled off for me significantly in these finals.
100%. Because before the finals, he was sitting down saying he wants to be here. He doesn't want to leave. He's going to do everything he can to remain a Maverick. But money talks. When you get into those contract negotiations and realizing, oh, wow, I really have the ability if I go somewhere else that can pay me more, it's going to be hard possibly to turn that down when he's in that decision.
He's such a great defender, though.
Fantastic.
I mean, there's no way you get through the Clippers or the Thunder, I think, without Derrick Jones Jr.
No way.
And I just, you know, leaning on a rookie, Omax Prosper, to play on-ball defense at that level, it's taken Derrick Jones Jr. 6 or 7 years in the league with that frame and that quickness to get to that level where he can defend guys, you know, amongst the best. So it's risky, but it might be what you need in order to ultimately take that next step because it's the well-rounded skill sets. And for as much as Derrick Jones Jr. does better than what Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock were able to do for you a couple of years ago, it still needs to be enhanced slightly to be part of a championship rotation, I think. Okay, when we come back, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for the Rangers Player Show, and David Robertson, who was on fire against the Dodgers, will relive that with them and talk about what's coming up here as the second half of the MLB season approaches. We'll talk with Dave coming up next right here to the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the champs, 105.3 The Fan. Texas Rangers baseball back tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch, as they'll take on the Mets for the second night in a row out there at the Globe. Remember, it's Simeon and Seager a bat night as well, if you want to get out there. And tomorrow it's postseason Simeon jersey night. So a couple of good promotions going on there at the yard next couple of nights, Brian.
Absolutely. We got to take a look at the bat last night. Yeah. That's a nice little gift there.
Gorgeous. It is. Yeah, that's the kind of promotion you want when you're walking in the front door and you want to see guys like our next guest strike out the side, as you did a couple of times last week in Los Angeles. One of the most electric members of the Rangers bullpen we've seen in a while. And he did. He got Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman in a row, two games in a row last week. He has 46 strikeouts and 31 innings of work so far this year. D-Rob, David Robertson, joining us now here on your home of the Rangers. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Man, it was such a thrill to watch that on TV. What was it like for you to experience that level of success against those level of hitters two nights in a row?
Well, the first night, it was a lot easier because I didn't have anybody on base. But, the second night after I, literally, let two guys off the hook before them and then had to battle my way out with, the tying or the winning run at the plate every at bat, was pretty frustrating, but I was glad I was able to get them out again. I mean, those guys have been kicking the crap out of me for a few years now.
So you got two guys in a row, 1-2, right? Then you hit one guy in the foot. Your curveball was just too good there, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I threw a pitch that was, a borderline strike, didn't get the call, it happens, and then throw my next one and hit him in the foot. So I went from 1-2 to a runner on first, and then I get 0-2 on Barnes, and then I freaking hang him a curveball, and he shoots it through for a knock, and I'm like, great, now I got the stinking top of the lineup again.
How's that mental warfare, that chess match go back and forth? Because, I mean, back-to-back nights, first night, they get a little taste for your stuff. Now they know a little bit of what you want to throw at them for the second time around.
Yeah, well, with Ohtani, I just tried to throw the same things. I was like, well, he didn't really, I haven't faced him before, and that's like a little bit of an advantage for me. And then Mookie, on the other hand, you just got to be smart with him because he's the same as Freddie. You make a mistake, they get you. And, I just thankfully was able to make enough quality pitches to both those guys to get him out. But, Freddie's been owning me for a long time, so it was really nice to get him out twice.
David, when you get the scouting reports on those guys, do you just kind of laugh to yourself at sometimes like, okay, yeah, you're telling me this, but I know I've probably got to do this to get these guys out?
Yeah, I mean, you got to make some stuff up every now and then to get those good guys out. Yeah. I mean, if you look at their box, it's like the whole thing's just red. It's like, don't throw it in the strike zone. You're like, great. How's this going to work?
It's David Robertson joining you here, the Rangers Player Show, brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. Everyone has beneficiaries. Not everyone has life insurance. Globe Life, who's your beneficiary?
How much did your phone blow up after that game right there? I mean, text messages, a little social media action. I imagine that thing was dinging pretty good.
Yeah, it was surprising. I probably had 4 or 5 texts. I'm usually not the best at getting back to people because I just feel like I don't ever carry my phone around with me. Just not standard these days. But yeah, I had a few people that reached out and sent me some stuff on X, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, I don't have X, but I haven't looked at it in a while. But so, I don't like scroll through it a lot. But I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
As far as
I was concerned, I was just happy I got 3 outs and didn't blow it.
Yeah, it was great. How long do you go without your phone?
I mean, for me, I could go forever without it, but my wife would kill me. I have no problem. Like, I'll set it down and forget I even have one and then come back about 8 hours later and be like, oh, there it is.
So are you chit-chatting mostly with guys? Are you reading books? What do you do to pass the time when most people are like glancing down at their phone every 30 seconds?
I battle the crossword for a good, 30 minutes to an hour every day. And then, I'll read on my book, or whatever I've got going on. Like, lately, Ray Davis gave me a book to read. So I'm powering through it. I'm about halfway down, but I like to read a lot. I'm trying not to, keep my face glued to a screen. I feel like I'm missing out on the real world sometimes when I do that.
We got a little bit of a Ray Davis book club situation we didn't know about.
No, he just mentioned a couple. He saw that I was reading some stuff, you know, and, you know, got me off of, you know, some of the murder mysteries I was on and gave me something interesting to read. So I'm trying it. And so far, so good. You know, he said he's got some more books for me. So as soon as I finish this one, if it turns out great and I like it, then I'll take his next recommendation.
So it is actually entertaining and good, or is it one of those things where when the boss gives you something, you just got to pretend that it's great and I got to finish this thing?
Oh, no, it's still a murder mystery book. So okay. It's like, you know, not a murder mystery, but it's like a, it's fiction. So it's I like being told a good story. So I'm all in on that.
You know, as an LSU man myself, I can't say we read many books. So as an Alabama man, I applaud that you're that well educated, sir.
I don't know about that. I just, you know, like I said, if you've got a good story to tell and it's got a good twist in there that I don't see coming, I'm in on it.
Yeah. Maybe it's that Paul Bear Bryant High School that you went to. What was it like going to a famous coach's? I mean, he's legendary, of course, in Alabama, Nick Saban as well. But what's it like being from Tuscaloosa and having, you know, that huge just shadow of these legendary coaches at your place?
Yeah, I mean, Alabama football is pretty much everything in Tuscaloosa and in Alabama. I mean, you're either Auburn or Alabama. And, you know, Bear Bryant was a legend. He always has been. They played, you know, all the reruns up before every game up there on the screen in the stadium. And you get to hear that iconic voice he has. And, you know, getting to go to the first year of the high school they built for him was pretty incredible. I mean, we had a pretty good run there on the football team. We went 5-5 as a first year school. So
nice.
You know, I feel like we did a little bit of justice. We tried hard.
Were you playing?
I mean, listen, I loosely played football. I was the place kicker, and I was the only senior on the team.
Wow.
So, you know.
David Robertson here you on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Well, 39 years old. That arm looks young, though. How are you feeling out there? You keeping up with the youngsters still?
Yeah, I feel like I hold my own against them. But, I mean, I've also been very lucky that I had a successful elbow surgery about 4 years ago or 5 years ago. So if that didn't work out, I would have definitely been done and wouldn't be able to keep up with them. So thanks to Dr. Andrews for getting me back out there.
So you're a World Series champ, but you're also a silver medalist at the Olympics. And we've got the Olympics right around the corner. What's it like to play for your country and participate in the Olympics?
There's nothing better than that. I mean, listen, I got to do the World Baseball Classic too in 17, and then to turn around and go to the Olympics was pretty incredible. You know, the only knock on the Olympics was that we were just unfortunate we couldn't have fans there because of COVID. But it was still an intense baseball game with no one in the seats. Like, we felt a lot of weight on our shoulders every game we played. So it was fun. It was exciting. And I would love to have gotten another shot at it, but I don't think that's going to happen in my career.
So when somebody says, like, man, I really wish my favorite sports player wouldn't play for his Olympic team because I don't want him to get hurt, what comes to your mind, Dave?
I can understand that. But, you know, I didn't have a contract with anybody. I was just kind of doing my own thing, playing in a men's league and, you know, going to independent ball and playing in the qualifiers. I was all in on it. When me and Paul Seiler talked about it and he asked me if I was in, I said, yeah, I'm in. I'm going till the end, until we win it all or get beat trying.
Dude, you must be kicking ass in a men's league. Are you like the ringer they're calling in here?
Like a beer league?
No. Like, so it turns out I was the oldest guy in the men's league, and I definitely was not kicking ass. I wish I would have been, but I was coming back from surgery, so I had a little bit of control problems. And wasn't exactly throwing the ball very hard either. So it wasn't pretty. It wasn't my best performance, but it was, you know, part of that long road back from surgery to get to where I'm at now.
Other than the Rangers and maybe the men's league, what's been your favorite place to play in the big leagues?
My favorite place. If I had to pick a ballpark in MLB, I love going to Safeco Field or T-Mobile or whatever, the Mariners field.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called now. Mainly because it's a great setup. We can see the whole field from the bullpen, and you never get rained out, and it's open air, and it just seems like it's a lively crowd every time we go there. It's just a different feel, and it's different from every other stadium you play in. Hmm.
You started with the Yankees, right, and then you went back there, so you must have liked your time in New York a little bit. That seems like a lively environment too.
It is. It's an intense environment. I had a great run in New York, and, you know, we were able to put together some good seasons and win a World Series there, you know, a few years ago. I, you know, just can't say anything bad about the place. It's a fun place to play. They've got, you know, an electric feel there. But yeah, I was trying to get here in Texas, see if we can turn this season around and we can go chase them down in the playoffs.
Man, I would love that. That's music to my ears. Is it getting a little bit frustrating as, you know, the expectations of being the defending champs? What do you think this team needs to do to get back to playing that elite level ball?
You know, I think that we just got to start putting a few good games together. We haven't been able to really fire on all cylinders all year. You know, we lost Young early in the year with that broken wrist, and it kind of took a lot out of the lineup right there. And then, you know, pitching wise, we lost a lot of starters really early, and we're kind of battling through and winning a few series here and there. And then we've just kind of gone on that stretch where we're just not doing enough to win games. Like we're either pitching really good or and not scoring runs, or we're scoring runs and not pitching good. And it's kind of like ever since that doubleheader in Oakland, we've just kind of really just taken a slow decline. But I mean, I'm seeing that we've got the talent. I'm seeing that we're putting a few things together on the field. We've just got to get everybody involved and get it going again. I mean, like if we can just put it together and win a series here and there and keep going. I mean, there's a lot of games left and we can gain a lot of ground real quick.
Does Bochy just stay even keel the whole time? And we've heard in the past he's been upset enough to like throw an orange at the wall or something. Have we gotten to that point in the season yet, or is he keeping that one in the holster?
I haven't seen that yet, but that'd be interesting to watch. I'm not gonna lie. I would like to see him see something like that. But Boach is so even keel, I don't think it's gonna happen. I hope not. Hopefully, we turn it around and don't get yelled at.
So go ahead, Walter.
Well, in your time in the big leagues, have you had a manager that has done anything crazy to try and get this team fired up and try and turn some things around? We're flipping tables, we're throwing watermelons against the wall, something crazy.
No, I've always heard stories in the past about it, but I haven't seen it. You know, it just maybe one day I will, but I really don't want to see it this year. You know, yeah. I'd rather be like a fly on the wall when that happens.
Guess you didn't see Brock Burke punch that wall then, huh? You don't have to answer.
No comment.
What, is there anything fun you like to do? I mean, you're an established veteran when it comes to the rookies. Do you assign them any tasks?
No, I'm not like that. You know, there's a few tasks that pretty much every rookie has to do. You know, carrying the speaker for the plane, it kind of gets passed around, and that's really about it. There's not much else. I think hopefully we'll do a little dress up at the end of the year and, you know, make the guys sing an embarrassing song or something, but there's not much that really goes on anymore.
Okay, but what about when David Robertson was a rookie?
I had to dress up and sing the YMCA all the way through. Like, we got rained out in Boston, so all the fans were hiding underneath in the tunnel there, and I had to dress up as the cowboy with stirrups on and a cowboy hat that was teal rhinestones and these giant teal boots and strut through the whole crowd of them singing the YMCA with five other guys. And it was really embarrassing, but you know, hey, got to do what you got to do.
That's amazing. What was Mariano Rivera like? Did he make you do anything weird?
No, not too bad. Mariano wasn't. He was a very easygoing guy. I mean, like obviously they relished in embarrassing us all on that one day. But for the most part, they never really bothered us too much. You know, unless we did something wrong, then we'd get an earful. But you know, I just tried to stay calm and stay out of the way all the time, and just throw the baseball and not be seen.
All right, well, let's go ahead and send you out on this here. This is let's see how well you know your teammates. This is 3 seconds of analysis about one of your current Ranger teammates. This is from Jared Sandler. I'll play you the sound. You guess that teammate. Here it is.
You know, what he's got working there between the knee and the waist is pretty impressive.
I don't know. I can't tell. I can't read that voice that quick.
We'll go ahead. We'll run it back for you one more time. Here's right,
one more shot.
You know, what he's got working there between the knee and the waist is pretty impressive.
The knee and the waist.
I got nothing.
Who's he describing?
David, the exhale is amazing. All of your teammates has done that same exhale every time they hear it. They're trying to just figure out who it is. Most people are teeing up Kisner for having the best quads on the team. I don't know if you could co-sign that or not, but that sounds not about Kisner. So hopefully we'll get you back on, D-Rob, and we'll give you another crack at this. It's not Kisner, but apparently Kisner's got the quads.
All right. I'm going to think on that one. We'll look around the clubhouse.
Yeah. Stare somebody down.
Awesome job, David Robertson. Thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck in the second half of the season. We'll be pulling for you.
All right, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There he goes, David Robertson. And the Rangers Player Show brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. Everyone has beneficiaries. Not everyone has life insurance. Globe Life, who's your beneficiary?
Yeah, we want to thank the Rangers and thank David for coming on. Pluckers is going to give him a $100 gift certificate. There's eight of those Pluckers around DFW, so hopefully he can grab him some wings.
I love the idea of him immediately right now. He's going in the clubhouse, and he's just looking around at everybody's lower half. Like, who the hell is this sound about?
I wonder if they
his entire answer was just,
damn it. Who could it be?
Got nobody. I guess Langford hasn't been around. Maybe.
I guess, yeah. But it only takes one look at those things.
Super impressive. So. Look, D-Rob. Yeah. Yeah. Could be about him.
Yeah. He is, yeah. Strong guy. That's a, yes, absolutely stout.
We got a top 10 coming up in about 25 minutes from Woolchuck. Rim session next with some hoop. Chief, what you got in store?
Yeah, I'm just going to be a sore loser and try and make fun of the Celtics as much as possible. Next in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on your home of the champs, 105.3 The Fan, Texas Rangers baseball. Back tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch. As they'll take on the Mets for the second night in a row out there at the Globe. Remember, it's Simeon and Seager a bat night as well if you want to get out there. And tomorrow it's postseason Simeon jersey night. So a couple of good promotions going on there at the yard next couple of nights, Brian.
Absolutely. We got to take a look at the bat last night. That's a nice little gift there.
Gorgeous.
It is. Yeah, that's the kind of promotion you want when you're walking in the front door and you want to see guys like our next guest strike out the side. As you did a couple of times last week in Los Angeles, one of the most electric members of the Rangers bullpen we've seen in a while. And he did. He got Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman in a row, two games in a row last week. He has 46 strikeouts and 31 innings of work so far this year. D-Rob, David Robertson joining us now here on your home of the Rangers. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Man, it was such a thrill to watch that on TV. What was it like for you to experience that level of success against those level of hitters two nights in a row?
Well, the first night, it was a lot easier because I didn't have anybody on base. But, the second night after I, let two guys off the hook before them and then had to battle my way out with, the tying or the winning run at the plate every at bat was pretty frustrating. But I was glad I was able to get them out again. I mean, those guys have been kicking the crap out of me for a few years now.
So you got two guys in a row, 1-2, right? Then you hit one guy in the foot. Your curveball was just too good there, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, I threw a pitch that was, a borderline strike, didn't get the call, it happens, and then throw my next one and hit him in the foot. So I went from 1-2 to a runner on first, and then I get 0-2 on Barnes, and then I freaking hang him a curveball, and he shoots it through for a knock, and I'm like, great, now I got the stinking top of the lineup again.
How's that mental warfare, that chess match go back and forth? Because, I mean, back-to-back nights, first night, they get a little taste for your stuff. Now they know a little bit of what you want to throw at them for the second time around.
Yeah, well, with Ohtani, I just tried to throw the same things. I was like, well, he didn't really, I haven't faced him before, and that's like a little bit of an advantage for me, and then Mookie, on the other hand, you just got to be smart with him because he's the same as Freddie. You make a mistake, they get you. And, I just thankfully was able to make enough quality pitches to both those guys to get him out. But, Freddie's been owning me for a long time, so it was really nice to get him out twice.
David, when you get the scouting reports on those guys, do you just kind of laugh to yourself at sometimes like, okay, yeah, you're telling me this, but I know I probably got to do this to get these guys out.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make some stuff up every now and then to get those good guys out. Yeah. I mean, if you look at their box, it's like the whole thing's just red. It's like, don't throw it in the strike zone. You're like, great. How's this going to work?
It's David Robertson joining you here. The Rangers Player Show brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. Everyone has beneficiaries. Not everyone has life insurance. Globe Life, who's your beneficiary?
How much did your phone blow up after that game right there? I mean, text messages, a little social media action. I imagine that thing was dinging pretty good.
Yeah, it was surprising. I probably had 4 or 5 texts. I'm usually not the best at getting back to people because I just feel like I don't ever carry my phone around with me. Just not standard these days. But I had a few people that reached out and sent me some stuff on X, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, I don't have X, but I haven't looked at it in a while. But so, I don't like scroll through it a lot. But I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
As far as
I was concerned, I was just happy I got 3 outs and didn't blow it.
Yeah, it was great. How long do you go without your phone?
I mean, for me, I could go forever without it, but my wife would kill me. I have no problem. Like, I'll set it down and forget I even have one and then come back about 8 hours later and be like, oh, there it is.
So are you chit-chatting mostly with guys? Are you reading books? What do you do to pass the time when most people are, like, glancing down at their phone every 30 seconds?
I battle the crossword for a good, 30 minutes to an hour every day. And then I'll read on my book or whatever I've got going on. Like, lately, Ray Davis gave me a book to read, so I'm powering through it. I'm about halfway down. But, I like to read a lot. I'm trying not to, keep my face glued to a screen. I feel like I'm missing out on the real world sometimes when I do that.
We got a little bit of a Ray Davis book club situation we didn't know about.
No, he just mentioned a couple. He saw that I was reading some stuff, and got me off of some of the murder mysteries I was on and gave me something interesting to read. So I'm trying it. And so far, so good. He said he's got some more books for me. So as soon as I finish this one, if it turns out great and I like it, then I'll take his next recommendation.
So it is actually entertaining and good, or is it one of those things where when the boss gives you something, you just got to pretend that it's great and I got to finish this thing?
Oh, no, it's still a murder mystery book. So okay. It's like, or not a murder mystery, but it's like a, it's fiction. So it's I like being told a good story. So I'm all in on that.
As an LSU man myself, I can't say we read many books. So as an Alabama man, I applaud that you're that well educated, sir.
I don't know about that. If you've got a good story to tell and it's got a good twist to there that I don't see coming, I'm in on it.
Yeah. Maybe it's that Paul Bear Bryant High School that you went to. What was it like going to a famous coach's? I mean, he's legendary, of course, in Alabama, Nick Saban as well. But what's it like being from Tuscaloosa and having, that huge just shadow of these legendary coaches at your place?
Yeah, I mean, Alabama football is pretty much everything in Tuscaloosa and in Alabama. I mean, you're either Auburn or Alabama. And, Bear Bryant was a legend. He always has been. They played, all the reruns up before every game up there on the screen in the stadium. And you get to hear that iconic voice he has. And, getting to go to the first year of the high school they built for him was pretty incredible. I mean, we had a pretty good run there on the football team. We went 5-5 as a first year school. So
nice.
I feel like we did a little bit of justice. We tried hard.
Were you playing?
I mean, listen, I loosely played football. I was the place kicker, and I was the only senior on the team.
Wow.
David Robertson here you on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Well, 39 years old. That arm looks young, though. How are you feeling out there? You keeping up with the youngsters still?
Yeah, I feel like I hold my own against them. But, I mean, I've also been very lucky that I had a successful elbow surgery about 4 years ago or 5 years ago. So if that didn't work out, I would have definitely been done and wouldn't be able to keep up with them. So thanks to Dr. Andrews for getting me back out there.
So you're a World Series champ, but you're also a silver medalist at the Olympics. And we've got the Olympics right around the corner. What's it like to play for your country and participate in the Olympics?
There's nothing better than that. I mean, listen, I got to do the World Baseball Classic too in 2017, and then to turn around and go to the Olympics was pretty incredible. The only knock on the Olympics was is that we were just unfortunate we couldn't have fans there because of COVID. But it was still an intense baseball game with no one in the seats. Like, we felt a lot of weight on our shoulders every game we played. So it was fun. It was exciting. And I would love to have gotten another shot at it, but I don't think that's going to happen in my career.
So when somebody says, like, man, I really wish my favorite sports player wouldn't play for his Olympic team because I don't want him to get hurt, what comes to your mind, Dave?
I can understand that. But I didn't have a contract with anybody. I was just kind of doing my own thing, playing in a men's league and, going to independent ball and playing in the qualifiers. I was all in on it. When me and Paul Seiler talked about it and he asked me if I was in, I said, yeah, I'm in. I'm going till the end, until we win it all or get beat trying.
Dude, you must be kicking ass in a men's league. Are you like the ringer they're calling in here?
Like a beer league?
No. Like, so it turns out I was the oldest guy in the men's league, and I definitely was not kicking ass. I wish I would have been, but I was coming back from surgery, so I had a little bit of control problems. And wasn't exactly throwing the ball very hard either. So it wasn't pretty. It wasn't my best performance, but it was, part of that long road back from surgery to get to where I'm at now.
Other than the Rangers and maybe the men's league, what's been your favorite place to play in the big leagues?
My favorite place. If I had to pick a ballpark at MLB, I love going to Safeco Field or T-Mobile or whatever, the Mariners Field.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called now. mainly because it's just a great setup. We can see the whole field from the bullpen, and you never get rained out, and it's open air, and it just seems like it's a lively crowd every time we go there. It's just a different feel, and it's different from every other stadium you play in.
You started with the Yankees, right? And then you went back there, so you must have liked your time in New York a little bit. That seems like a lively environment too.
It is. It's an intense environment. I had a great run in New York, and you know, we were able to put together some good seasons and win a World Series there, you know, a few years ago. I, you know, just can't say anything bad about the place. It's a fun place to play. They've got, you know, an electric feel there. But yeah. I was trying to get here in Texas, see if we can turn this season around and we can go chase them down in the playoffs.
Man, I would love that. That's music to my ears. Is it getting a little bit frustrating as, you know, the expectations of being the defending champs? What do you think this team needs to do to get back to playing that elite level ball?
You know, I think that we just got to start putting a few good games together. We haven't been able to really fire on all cylinders all year. You know, we lost Young early in the year with that broken wrist, and it kind of took a lot out of the lineup right there. And then, you know, pitching wise, we lost a lot of starters really early, and we're kind of battling through and winning a few series here and there. And then we've just kind of gone on that stretch where we're just not doing enough to win games. Like we're either pitching really good and not scoring runs, or we're scoring runs and not pitching good. And it's kind of like ever since that doubleheader in Oakland, we've just kind of really just taken a slow decline. But I mean, I'm seeing that we've got the talent. I'm seeing that we're putting a few things together on the field. We've just got to get everybody involved and get it going again. I mean, like if we can just put it together and win a series here and there and keep going. I mean, there's a lot of games left and we can gain a lot of ground real quick.
Does Bochy just stay even keel the whole time? And we've heard in the past he's been upset enough to like throw an orange at the wall or something. Have we gotten to that point in the season yet, or is he keeping that one in the holster?
I haven't seen that yet, but that'd be interesting to watch. I'm not gonna lie. I would like to see him see something like that. But Boach is so even keel. I don't think it's gonna happen. I hope not. Hopefully, we turn it around and don't get yelled at.
So go ahead, Walter.
Well, in your time in the big leagues, have you had a manager that has done anything crazy to try and get this team fired up and try and turn some things around? We're flipping tables. We're throwing watermelons against the wall. Something crazy.
No, I've always heard stories in the past about it, but I haven't seen it. You know, it just maybe one day I will, but I really don't want to see it this year. You know, yeah. I'd rather be like a fly on the wall when that happens.
Guess you didn't see Brock Burke punch that wall then, huh? You don't have to answer.
No comment.
What, is there anything fun you like to do? I mean, you're an established veteran when it comes to the rookies. Do you assign them any tasks?
No, I'm not like that. You know, there's a few tasks that pretty much every rookie has to do. You know, carrying the speaker for the plane, it kind of gets passed around, and that's really about it. There's not much else. I think hopefully we'll do a little dress up at the end of the year and, you know, make the guys sing an embarrassing song or something, but there's not much that really goes on anymore.
Oh, okay, but what about when David Robertson was a rookie?
I had to dress up and sing the YMCA all the way through. Like, we got rained out in Boston, so all the fans were hiding underneath in the tunnel there, and I had to dress up as the cowboy with stirrups on and a cowboy hat that was teal rhinestones and these giant teal boots and strut through the whole crowd of them singing the YMCA with five other guys. And it was really embarrassing, but you know, hey, gotta do what you gotta do.
That's amazing. What was Mariano Rivera like? Did he make you do anything weird?
No, not too bad. Mariano wasn't. He was a very easygoing guy. I mean, like, obviously they relished in embarrassing us all on that one day, but for the most part, they never really bothered us too much, you know, unless we did something wrong, then we'd get an earful. But, you know, I just tried to stay calm and stay out of the way all the time and just throw the baseball and not be seen.
All right, well, let's go ahead and send you out on this here. This is let's see how well you know your teammates. This is 3 seconds of analysis about one of your current Ranger teammates. This is from Jared Sandler. I'll play you the sound. You guess that teammate. Here it is.
You know, what he's got working there between the knee and the waist is pretty impressive.
I don't know. I can't tell. I can't read that voice that quick.
We'll go ahead. We'll run it back for you one more time. Here's
one more shot.
You know, what he's got working there between the knee and the waist is pretty impressive.
The knee and the waist.
I got nothing.
Who's he describing?
David, the exhale is amazing. All of your teammates has done that same exhale every time they hear it. They're trying to just figure out who it is. Most people are teeing up Kisner for having the best quads on the team. I don't know if you could co-sign that or not, but that sounds not about Kisner. So hopefully we'll get you back on, D-Rob, and we'll give you another crack at this. It's not Kisner, but apparently Kisner's got the quads.
All right. I'm going to think on that one. We'll look around the clubhouse.
Yeah. Stare somebody down.
Awesome job, David Robertson. Thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck in the second half of the season. We'll be pulling for you.
All right, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There he goes, David Robertson, and the Rangers Player Show brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. Everyone has beneficiaries. Not everyone has life insurance. Globe Life, who's your beneficiary?
Yeah, we want to thank the Rangers and thank David for coming on. Pluckers is going to give him a $100 gift certificate. There's 8 of those Pluckers around DFW, so hopefully he can grab him some wings.
I love the idea of him immediately right now. He's going in the clubhouse, and he's just looking around at everybody's lower half. Like, who the hell is this sound about?
I wonder if they
His
go
entire
up to
answer was just,
damn it. Who could it be?
Got nobody. I guess Langford hasn't been around. Maybe.
I guess, but it only takes one look at those things.
Super impressive. Look, D-Rob. Yeah. Could be about him.
Yeah. He is, yeah. Strong guy. That's absolutely stout.
We got a top 10 coming up in about 25 minutes from Woolchuck. A rim session next with some hoop. Chief, what you got in store?
Yeah, I'm just going to be a sore loser and try and make fun of the Celtics as much as possible. Next in the nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.